Please turn to the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 34, and we want to read verse 11. Psalm 34, verse 11. This verse says, "Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." This psalm, of course, was written by David. And in this particular verse, David offered a very special invitation to God's children. And David's invitation had to do with hearkening to the instructions that he recorded in this very beautiful psalm. It's important for us to accept David's invitation because he has something worthwhile to teach us. Notice he mentions the fear of the Lord. And David described the fear of the Lord in Psalm 19 and verse 9. He said, "The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever." So David extends an invitation to us so that he can teach us something. And he wants to teach us the fear of the Lord. It's important for us to know what the Bible teaches concerning the fear of the Lord because, as David said in Psalm 19, it is clean and it endures forever. What a beautiful description. Well, hearkening to David's instructions will enable us to enjoy many wonderful blessings. One of them is seeing good days, and we'll point that out as we go through our lesson. But David in Psalm 34 showed that there are a number of very special blessings that we're able to receive as a result of listening to his instructions and putting them into practice. Let's begin our lesson by pointing out why we need to hearken to David's instructions. In the opening verse of this psalm, Psalm 34, David indicated that he had a very close relationship with the Lord. He said it this way, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." As you examine that statement, you'll conclude that David had a very close relationship with the Lord. I don't know about you, but I want to listen to what that man has to say. He had a very close relationship with the Lord. He indicated that in the opening verse. Later on, in verse 11, he invites us to hearken to his instructions. Well, one reason why we need to listen to what David said is that he had a very close relationship with the Lord. In preparing for the lesson and thinking about that invitation, I tried to imagine actually sitting at the feet of David and listening to him teach. What a blessing that would have been. We're able to learn a lot about David from the Old Testament scriptures. He's a very prominent character in the Old Testament. But he had a very close relationship with the Lord. Now, we are aware of his mistakes. The Bible paints out very vividly the mistakes that David made. But David sought forgiveness from God. And in Psalm 32, he described the condition of a man who has been forgiven. He talked about his condition before he confessed what he had done with Bathsheba. But then he showed that after he had confessed his sin and sought forgiveness, he was blessed abundantly. So David was not a perfect man by any means, but he had a very close relationship with the Lord. So as we accept his invitation to listen to what he's saying, we're able to learn from one who walked with God, we might say. I look back on some of the days that I spent in school many years ago. I had certain teachers that I felt very close to, more so than others. But there were a few of my teachers, I knew something about their personal lives. I knew that they were dedicated to serving the Lord. They had my respect. And automatically, I wanted to listen to what they had to say. So think about David and his relationship with the Lord. That should lead us to want to listen to what he has to say. Something that helped him just might help us. Well, even though David had a close relationship with the Lord, he faced a number of afflictions throughout his life, but God had blessed him repeatedly. Now, this is another reason why we need to hearken to David's instructions. He faced a number of afflictions, but God had blessed him abundantly. Look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now, we can study the Old Testament scriptures, and we can learn about the afflictions that David faced. Now, he faced those afflictions even though he had a close relationship with the Lord. But he didn't give up on the Lord. He didn't turn away from the Lord. He went on to show how God had blessed him over and over again. So as we listen to David's instructions, we're listening to someone who had some valuable experience. We've already pointed out that he had a close relationship with the Lord. That's a very good reason for listening to what he said. But then he also had some practical experience. He faced a number of afflictions throughout his life, but God blessed him over and over again. Look at verse 3. In verse 3, David made an appeal for others to join him in having a close relationship with the Lord. He said, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." Now, that's an appeal made by David for others to join him in having a close relationship with the Lord. Now, David went on to point out something that we've already touched on concerning his life. David pointed out in verse 19 that the righteous, that is, those who have a right relationship with the Lord, face many afflictions. Let's let him tell us. Verse 19 says, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous." Well, despite many afflictions, God will bless his people just as he had blessed David. Verse 8, "O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing." Go down to verse 17. "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all." And then verse 22. "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate." So David first talked about his own life. Now we're showing why it's important for us to hearken to David's instruction. He invites us to do that in verse 11. Why should we accept his invitation? Well, David talked about his own experiences. He had a right relationship with the Lord. In spite of that, he faced many afflictions. But he showed that the Lord had blessed him through everything. The Lord had blessed him over and over again. From a practical standpoint, David made an appeal for others to join him in being right with God. And he showed that the righteous, that is, those who are in good standing with God, will face many afflictions, just as he did. But then David showed that in spite of afflictions, God will bless his will bless his people just as he had blessed David. For some reason, when I was studying through these verses, Jacob kept popping into my mind. Jacob is a very interesting Bible character. He was the grandson of Abraham. Of course, the tribes of Israel were named after his sons. One of his sons was Judah, and he was an ancestor of David. So David was a descendant of Jacob. Jacob lived a long life, and of course, he was striving to be right with God and everything, but he certainly faced some afflictions. Let's notice something that Jacob had to say when he stood before Pharaoh. Let's go to Genesis chapter 47. Genesis 47. Of course, Jacob thought for years that his son Joseph had been killed by a wild animal. Through God's providence, Joseph became the number two ruler in Egypt. He was the one who made preparations for the years of famine. You see, Pharaoh had a dream, and Joseph interpreted that dream, and the interpretation showed that the people would experience 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of famine. Joseph was put in charge of storing up grain for the years of famine. And then eventually, Jacob made his way to Egypt, and he was reunited with Joseph. Well, Joseph introduced his father to Pharaoh, who was the leader of Egypt. I've always thought the question that Pharaoh asked was rather interesting, but what we're really concerned with is Jacob's response. Genesis 47, let's start at verse 7. And Joseph brought in Jacob his father and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. Now listen to Pharaoh's question. And Pharaoh said unto Jacob, "How old art thou?" I find that to be very interesting. Out of all the things that they could have talked about, Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" Well, I find that to be somewhat interesting. Now, let's look at Jacob's response. And Jacob said unto Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Now, that's a long life, isn't it? Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." Now think about that response that Jacob made to Pharaoh. Pharaoh said, "How old are you?" He indicated that he was 130 years old. But what I'm really concerned about was how Jacob viewed his life. At that point, he seems to have concentrated on how difficult his life had been. He faced a number of afflictions. Jacob brought some of the afflictions upon himself. Sometimes he suffered because of afflictions brought on upon him by someone else. But it just seems to me that when Jacob answered Pharaoh, he was concentrating on the difficulties that he faced in his life. Now, did he stay that way? Well, let's look over at chapter 48. In chapter 48, Jacob had an opportunity to bless the sons of Joseph. And you tell me if he sounds like the same man. Genesis 48, let's read verses 15 and 16. And he, that is Jacob, blessed Joseph and said, "God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads and let my name be named on them in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Did you notice that he gave God credit for taking care of him throughout his life? So the statement that he made to Pharaoh, when Pharaoh asked him how old he was, he seems to have concentrated, at least for a little while, on how difficult his life had been. But when he had an opportunity to bless the sons of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, he gave God credit for taking care of him throughout his whole life. Well, what about David? David faced many afflictions. Did David concentrate on them? Well, no doubt they affected him. But he never lost sight of God's goodness, and he gave God credit for taking care of him repeatedly. Now, those are good reasons for listening to what David has to say. The Bible describes him as a man after God's own heart. And he extends an invitation to us in Psalm 34 and verse 11 to hear what he has to say. He said, "I'll teach you the fear of the Lord." And of course, Psalm 19 gives a beautiful description of the fear of the Lord. I believe we understand why it's so important for us to hearken to David's instructions. Once again, I can't help but reflect upon some of my teachers and some preachers that I have known over the years. Whenever I had an opportunity to listen to them, I look forward to that with a lot of anticipation. I remember one time Teresa and I were on vacation, and we were worshiping with another congregation in another state, and I was looking forward to hearing the brother preach, who was the minister of that congregation. And he wasn't there. He was out of town. Well, I was disappointed because I was really looking forward to listening to him and hearing what he had to say. Well, we have a blessed opportunity to sit at the feet of David and listen to him teach us some things. He had a close relationship with the Lord. He had faced many afflictions, but he maintained his relationship with the Lord. He calls upon us to join him. He shows us that we will face afflictions, but he also shows how God will bless us. I don't know about you, but I find those to be some important lessons before we've even looked at what David had to teach us. Those are some things that we can learn from his life as well as the life of Jacob. Well, let's listen to the instructions that David has given back in Psalm 34. His invitation to listen to him is given in verse 11. Let's continue reading at verse 12. "What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth." According to verse 12, David's instructions are for those who desire life and love many days, that they may see good. Now, you're probably more familiar with these verses as they are recorded in 1 Peter chapter 3. The Apostle Peter quoted these same verses in his letter in the New Testament. Peter addressed his comments to "he that will love life and see good days." I've always loved that expression. Just has a beautiful sound to it. He that will love life and see good days. So as we examine what David had to say, what he had to teach, we need to keep in mind that his instructions are for those who desire life love many days, that they may see good. Or as Peter says, those who will love life and see good days. Well, I don't know about you, but I want to find out what David and Peter have to say. Let's look at David's instructions in Psalm 34. He pointed out in verse 13 that we must avoid sinning with our tongues. He said that we're to keep our tongues from evil. Well, that's dealt with in a number of passages. Well, let's consider what Peter wrote in 1 Peter 2 and verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings. Remember, if we want to love life and see good days, we're not able to accomplish that by accident. There are certain instructions that we must follow, and David's giving us those instructions. In order to enjoy that blessing, we must avoid sinning with our tongues. To be more specific, we're to keep our tongues from evil. I don't know about you, but I'm appalled at how common filthy language is today. I hear it out in public a lot, but it just seems to me like it's a lot more common on TV. And I think that's sad. Now, we're appalled by that, but we need to listen to what David said. You see, if we're exposed to that long enough, it can rub off on us. And we need to remember that in order to love life and see good days, there's something that must be avoided. David said we must keep our tongues from evil. Well, that's far-reaching. We, of course, need to be concerned about the words that we say. We need to be concerned about the way that we say our words. And the Bible teaches us to keep our tongues from evil. But in addition to that, when it comes to avoid sinning with our tongues, we must refrain from speaking guile with our lips. What is guile? Guile is deceit. I'm also appalled at how people will lie today would not be ashamed of it. And then their lies can be pointed out and they won't confess it. That is sad. But the Bible teaches us to refrain from speaking guile or deceit. How can we go about accomplishing what David's teaching us? Now remember, his instructions are for those who would love life and see good days. In order to enjoy those blessings, we must avoid sinning with our tongues. Let's consider what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12. Jesus talked about using our tongues properly. Matthew 12, we will start at verse 34. Now keep in mind that Jesus is responding to the religious leaders of his day who accused him of casting out devils by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. That's the accusation that they brought against the Lord. Jesus had something to say in response. We won't consider everything, but we do want to look at part of what the Lord said, because he shows us how we can take care of the wrong type of speech. Matthew 12, let's start at verse 34. O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. What's the secret to using proper language? The Lord made it very clear. The way to speak properly is to have the proper things in the heart. Where do the words originate? They originate in the heart. So if the heart is taken care of, the words will take care of themselves. Keep in mind that Jesus was responding to those who accused him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. Why did those hypocrites make such a statement as that? It was because of the evil condition of their hearts. But Jesus took advantage of that situation to teach a very important lesson to his followers. You see, whenever Jesus was faced with difficult situations, there would be some of his followers present. Jesus would take those difficult situations and turn them into teaching opportunities. So while the religious leaders of his day may not have profited from what the Lord said, his followers were there, and they were taught the secret to speaking properly. That is, have the right things in the heart. How do we have the right things in the heart? Philippians 4 and verse 8 gives us a whole list of good things to think about. And as we think in our hearts, so are we. According to the book of Proverbs, if we think and dwell and meditate upon the right things, that's going to affect our hearts. Our hearts will then affect the words that we speak. So David invites us to listen to his instructions. His instructions are for those who would love life and see good days. We've already pointed out that we must avoid sinning with our tongues. But look at verse 14 of Psalm 34. The first part of verse 14 says we are to depart from evil and do good. Let's tie in Romans 12 and verse 9. Romans 12 and verse 9, the latter part of this verse says, abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. You know, when it comes to serving God, there are things that are to be avoided, and then there are things that are to be done. And we have to look at this in a balanced way. The Bible teaches us to depart from evil, or as Paul said in Romans 12, abhor that which is evil, actually detest it. Well, that's the negative part. There are certain things that are to be avoided. But then what about the positive part? David says, do good. And Paul tells us, cleave to that which is good. I think about cleaving as grabbing hold of something and not turning it loose. Well, I think it's interesting that David, Peter, and Paul all teach the same things. In order to have a right relationship with the Lord, we must depart from evil and do good. I'm concerned that many people today don't even know the difference between evil and good. I become concerned when I hear people try to justify doing that which is evil. Well, the Bible describes in great detail what is right and what is wrong. And of course, God will bless us when we avoid that which is wrong and do that which is right. But you know, even then, as David pointed out in Psalm 34, and the New Testament teaches the same thing, the righteous will face afflictions. If you're committed to doing that which is right and avoiding that which is wrong, you can expect some affliction to come. But let's remember that David showed that God will continue to bless us. So in order to love life and see good days, we must avoid sinning with our tongues. We must depart from evil and do good. But then the latter part of verse 14 of Psalm 34 says that we must seek peace and pursue it. Let's tie in Romans 12 and verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Now, of course, as we've said on many other occasions, some people make it challenging to carry out this instruction. That's why the Bible says, if it be possible, as much as lies within you. In other words, you go the extra mile to be at peace with others. And if other people won't let you be at peace with them, make sure it's their fault and not yours. You know, Jesus was prophesied in Isaiah 9 and verse 6, I believe it is, that he would be called the Prince of Peace. But as the Lord fulfilled his ministry, there were many who mocked him, afflicted him, and persecuted him. But he just kept on doing what the Father sent him to do. Well, we would do well to remember the Lord's example. He sought peace, and he pursued it. But there were some who were not at peace with him. It was not the Lord's fault. It was their fault. Now, the Lord, through David, shows us in verses 15 and 16 of Psalm 34 that he's aware of how we approach these instructions, and he will reward us accordingly. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The Lord knows what's going on. He's very much aware of it. And he will reward us on the basis of how we respond to these instructions. Because he said in verse 16, the face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So David showed us in these last two verses, verses 15 and 16, that the Lord is aware of how we approach these instructions that David gave us, and he will reward us on the basis of how we respond to them. Now let's read what Peter wrote. Let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. And notice how the Apostle Peter included these instructions from Psalm 34 as he was writing to Christians. There's a great application to be made. You compare Psalm 34 with what Peter wrote in 1 Peter, and you can see very quickly why Peter included this psalm. 1 Peter chapter 3, let's actually start at verse 8. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew or turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Now Peter, in his letter, showed how Christians face afflictions. He dealt with this in the opening chapter. Look at chapter 1, let's read verses 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations or trials, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Now we've already read in chapter 3 how Peter included David's instructions in Psalm 34. David pointed out in Psalm 34 that the righteous face many afflictions. Peter, in his letter, showed how Christians face affliction. He was writing to Christians who were undergoing a fiery trial, as he described it. Probably some type of very serious persecution. But, like David, Peter pointed out in his letter how God will bless those who remain true to him. Let's look at chapter 5, 1 Peter 5. Verse 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. And then verse 10, but the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Do you see the parallels between Psalm 34 and what Peter wrote in his letter? They both dealt with a very special blessing, being able to love life and see good days. Those blessings are available to those who have a right relationship with the Lord. David had a right relationship with the Lord. He called upon others to join him. But he showed that even with a right relationship with the Lord, expect afflictions. They will come. Peter dealt with the same principles. David showed how God will continue to bless his people. Peter made the same statement. Well, as we said at the beginning, let us hearken to David's instructions. He gave us a very special invitation. I want to read it again. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. As I think about that invitation, I can't help but maybe, in my mind at least, picture David, who has gone through a world of experience. He's seen many good things. He has seen more than his share of bad. He's made many mistakes. But I see him seated, and after a lifetime of experience, he has a heart of compassion. And he says, sit down a while. I've got some things I want to teach you. I kind of have that picture of David as I'm thinking about his invitation. And out of respect for him, from what we know about him in the scriptures, I want to listen to him. Because you see, what helped David get through his life will help us as well. Well, maybe one day we'll study Psalm 34 in its entirety. We've covered most of it today. But just remember that David extended a very special invitation to us to come to him and listen to what he has to say. He'll teach us the fear of the Lord.